You're listening to Messenger Insight, a news and information program brought to you by the Baptist Messenger and the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma.
Hello and welcome to this edition of Messenger Insight. I'm Brian Hobbs, your host. I am very pleased to be joined in this episode with a great friend, a friend of Oklahoma Baptist, author, pastor, ministry leader. I'm talking about Dr. Ted Kirsch, who joins us in this issue of Messenger Insight. Howdy, Ted.
Hey, Brian. How are you today?
Doing great. Thank you for joining us. Now, I'm very excited about your new book, and I had to have you on the broadcast just to talk about it. It's called The Walk, Removing the Struggles Along the Way. And can you talk about, to begin with, how this book project came about and sort of the factors that came together?
Oh, absolutely, Brian. I'm really grateful for the opportunity. And, writing for me really kind of has to be a thing where the Lord just kind of puts something in my heart. I know some authors have that ability just to get up each day and write, and they determine a particular project and they complete it and so forth. But I don't work that way too much. I really have to sense that the Lord is speaking to me about something, and then out of that I write. And that's kind of where The Walk came from. Our ministry now is going to a lot of different churches and doing a lot of different things. And I began to notice that there were some churches that really did love each other and some churches that just kind of liked each other, but they weren't too much in love with one another. And out of that, the Lord kind of took me to 1 Corinthians 13 some time ago. I began to preach through 1 Corinthians 13, and so the Lord kind of brought me back to that with the idea of writing along the idea of what love really is. And first of all, it was important for people to understand why Paul wrote this letter, this first letter to the people of Corinth. And they really, he wrote it reprimanding them. He wrote it saying, here's all the things that you're doing wrong. There's disunity, and there's immorality, and there's struggles. And then he gets along about chapter 12, and he says, now let me show you a better way. And then, of course, chapter 13 begins as he begins to talk about love. And so he is showing the church how to walk and how to remove the struggles in that walk. And so that's really kind of the background, so to speak, Brian, of how it began to come together.
Great. You've served as a pastor in this state, and now you are heading up the ministry Equipped by His Word. Your preaching, which has been heard by many, many Oklahoma Baptists, is expository or verse by verse, and it really shines through in this book. You are really bringing to light some key elements, some words that we had not even factored in, maybe when we just read a cursory reading of 1 Corinthians or the chapter. And what is the picture of love you think the Apostle Paul was getting at? And how is it maybe different, looks different than what the world thinks about when they say love?
Yeah, we use that word love in so many ways. One guy says, I love my car, and another person says, I love hunting, and somebody says, I love fried chicken, so we use that word in a lot of ways. And I think probably that has caused the word to be weakened in our understanding, particularly among Christians and among the church. And even, with 1 Corinthians 13, as you know, very early in the book, we talk about that 1 Corinthians 13, it wasn't written with weddings in mind. Most of the time people think of 1 Corinthians 13 and they think of, oh, the love chapter, how sweet is that? And they're dealing with weddings and think about weddings. And Paul was absolutely not thinking about that when he wrote this letter under the direction of the Holy Spirit. When he gets to chapter 13, he really is saying to the church, here's what love is. And one of the things that challenges me very early in that chapter, he says, if you could speak with the tongues of angels, in other words, if you could communicate with angels, if you could speak with the tongues of men, with every tongues of men, all the languages. And yet, he says, if you don't have love, you are nothing. And he uses a word that means a nobody, absolutely nothing, absolutely no one involved in your life. And then all through that letter, the words that he chooses are just packed with meaning. He talks about love being patient, and it's always a word that has to do with our relationship with other individuals. And, you know, love is not patient waiting on a stoplight to change. Love is patient with the driver next to you that cuts you off in the traffic. You know, it always deals with people. And so when you walk through this wonderful chapter and you begin to see all these pictures and the words, it's interesting to me. In fact, there's a couple of chapters in the book entitled Love Looks Like Jesus. And that's really, I think, what the Apostle Paul is painting. He is painting for us a picture of the character of Jesus. So if I'm walking in love, I'm walking like Jesus. My walk will be a reminder of others about what Jesus, how Jesus lived. So I think the word descriptions, they're packed with great meaning and great definition. But I think the primary idea is Paul is saying, here's how Jesus walked. Here's how Jesus looked in his character. And if we walk in love, then this is how we look as well.
Amen. You know, when I think about a book like yours, The Walk, it calls to mind a great C.S. Lewis book called The Four Loves, in which he expounds upon the different loves we experience in being part of, made in the image of God and creation. Now, this struck me as a book that could be approached at many levels by just a Christ follower, a believer, a small group, a church. Could you talk, Brother Ted, about, number one, how can people best get their hands on a copy, either for themselves or as a gift book, and then how you could picture it transforming maybe an individual or group or church?
Absolutely. Well, they can order the book several ways. You can get it through Amazon. There's a Kindle version as well, and so you can do that. Or you can contact me directly, and that's one of the best prices, actually, is to contact me directly, and you can do that through our website, equippedbyhisword.org, or my email address is EBHW for Equipped by His Word, EBHW, GAL 220, which is Galatians 2:20, my life verse. So EBHW, Galatians 2:20, at gmail.com. And somebody can send me an email, and I'll be glad to mail them the book. We're only charging $13 for the book, and that covers the book itself is $10 and $3 to mail it. So they can contact me and be glad to do that for them. So that's one of the great ways to get it, probably the easiest ways to get it.
Great.
We are going to be doing some book signings around. I'm going to be at South Tulsa Baptist Church a week from Sunday doing a book signing, and then there'll be some others that'll be coming up. But to email me would be a good way to do that. I think the book, Brian, one of the things that I really tried to do with it was to make it real practical. And there's a lot of life episodes and illustrations through the book. Some about friends, some about our own life, some funny things, some things that'll grab your heart. We did that to try to take the book and not just make it a word study journal, or not just make it a commentary on 1 Corinthians 13, but how do we really live this out? So that was one very important part for me with the book. And then I wrote it with the idea that pastors could pick this up, and it could be a real help and resource to their preaching through 1 Corinthians 13, and it could be a thing that if a pastor chose to preach through 1 Corinthians 13, then his people could pick up the book and read it for themselves, get greater detail, and all of that. And so we really did write it in with the church in mind. I didn't just write it to get information out there. I thought a lot about the churches I'd pastored in 45 years, and a lot about the people I'd known, and how do we really, you know, the Christian life sometimes is a real struggle. And so 1 Corinthians 13 gives us such wonderful information about how to get over that struggle. And so we wrote the book kind of with the heart of saying, how can I take this teaching of 1 Corinthians 13, the exposition of 1 Corinthians 13, make it very practical, and then put it in a form that people could pick it up and read it. It's a brief read. It's not a long book at all, about 100 pages. Take it and read it, and then maybe take it to their Bible study group or another small group, or even a pastor, pick it up and use it. And so that was kind of our mental process behind the book.
Great. You know, something that you become known for is your love for the local church and the body of Christ. And this book, I really think, does equip the church and pastors in a great way.
I hope so.
You know, you're a good storyteller, Brother Ted. In the walk, there's some very engaging stories from your life and other facets of life. You know, one of the chapters, just to give people a little bit of a flavor as they go to order it off your website or on Amazon, one of the chapters, There Is Something Wrong, you talk about when you and Jerry, your wife, were at the store, the grocery store, in a car. Could you briefly relay that story and maybe the truth behind it?
Oh yeah, you know it's funny. The chapter deals with there's something wrong, you know, and a lot of people are trying to figure out what's wrong in the church and what needs to happen within the church, and the idea comes from you know, we have to admit sometimes that we're wrong. The story was Jerry and I had gone to the grocery store, had taken two of our three children with us. Micah and Rebecca were with us. We got to the grocery store, went in, and got all the things that we needed and a lot of things we didn't need. And we came back out, and so we started to get in the car, and I noticed the car's unlocked. And so I opened up the doors, and I started complaining to Jerry about you all didn't lock the car. And that was back in the days, you know, when you could actually see the little lock button was standing up. And I said, y'all didn't lock the car. And so all along, I'm at the back trying to get my key in the trunk of the car. Micah's getting in the car, and Becca's getting in the car, and Jerry's getting in. And I'm in the back with the groceries. I'm going to put the groceries in the trunk, and that key will not open the trunk. Well, now I'm fussing at the key and fussing at the trunk. Now, I know I use this key on the door, the door key and the trunk key. They're the same. I know I use those. Well, about that time, this lady walks up, and she says, "Sir, I think you're trying to get in my car." Well, I was. In fact, in the story, I relate the fact that it looked like our car, it smelled like our car. When you have preschoolers and elementary age kids, every car smells like McDonald's. And so it smelled like our car. It looked like our car. Only problem was it wasn't our car, and I was wrong. And our car was about two spaces down. And I had to admit I was wrong. I had to say to Jerry, "I'm sorry." I had to say to the kids, "I'm sorry. I had to admit I'm wrong." Well, the truth behind that is we've got to admit some things about the church today, that there are some things that are wrong. And one of the things that's wrong is we really do like each other. I believe that in most of our churches. We really do like each other, but I'm not so sure we love each other. And when you get into 1 Corinthians 13 and you begin to see, you know, I do like the folks I go to church with, but I may not love them. Or I do like my neighbors, but I may not love them. Then I've got to admit that I'm wrong and begin to deal with that. And so that was the idea behind that little story, and maybe as a little bit of an example of some of what we're doing with that with the book.
Good word. I like that. We're talking to Dr. Ted Kirsch, author of new release, The Walk, Removing the Struggles Along the Way. I'd encourage everyone listening to this to check out his resources at equippedbyhisword.org and also follow the Baptist Messenger. We're going to be debuting soon a special feature related to this book, and thanks, Brother Ted, a limited book giveaway. Brother Ted, we appreciate you coming on Messenger Insight. We pray that this book achieves all the goals you had in mind, and that God would bless it above what you even hoped for, and that churches really would realize the love crisis and by God's grace lean on Him and find that true love we have in Christ Jesus.
Well, thank you so much, Brian. I do pray it'd be a blessing to people. We write not with the idea really of income or anything like that. That's not even our purpose. We really do try to write with how do we help people, and how do we help the church, And I think when the Lord kind of put this book in my mind, he gave me something that I think can be a help to churches and small groups and individuals. And I really pray that it will.
Amen. Thank you again, Brother Ted.
Thank you, Brian. Have a great day.
You have been listening to Messenger Insight, brought to you by the Cooperative Program and the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma. For more, find us in the iTunes Store or visit us at BaptistMessenger.com.